coolest.
No, you're the coolest.
No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest.
Yeah, I agree.
I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Powell.
And we are going to be talking about what a lot of people are talking about this month, but we're asking the question, should the church be talking about it? And if so, how? But we'll get to that in a minute. As always, we're first going to talk about what we are preaching on. So, Mark, what are you preaching on this Sunday?
This Sunday, I'm still in the series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to be talking about kindness. What biblical kindness and godly kindness looks like.
That is probably extremely appropriate because of our topic. We're not seeing a lot of biblical and godly kindness from people who proclaim to be Christians, but we'll get to that. We are continuing in the book of Acts, and we're actually going to talk about serving, because we're going to talk about how the apostles said, hey, we've got to focus on, you know, prayer and the teaching of the word. You guys need to raise up servants to minister to the needs of the congregation. And unfortunately, when you talk about that, that's like talking about money to Christian folks. Oh, I got to serve. Can I just give some money instead of serving? They don't like to do that a whole lot.
Right. Right. That sounds good, too.
But right now, we're going to talk about what a lot of people are talking about, some in a good way, positive way, some in a negative way, and all the ways, and that is Pride Month. And hoping the way that we discuss it doesn't get like Apple to or any of the other podcast platforms to not put our podcast on the air. But some questions that came up. First and foremost, listen to this. Pride Month is celebrating the LGBTQIA, all the letter community. Celebrating homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all of their rights, all of their privileges, all of their culture and lifestyle. So the question that came up, and I'll share in a minute this post that I saw that really, it just hurt my heart. I was torn between tears and just fiery upset. But I'll share that in a minute. But should churches be even talking about Pride Month? Some people say, yeah, I see churches going out of their way to demean, ridicule, whatever, anyone celebrating Pride Month. I see other churches being like, that has nothing to do with me. Why should I talk about it? And they don't. And then I see people who claim to be Christians on both sides going at one another. Some saying, why aren't you talking about it? And some saying, we shouldn't. This has nothing to do with us. So I'm not going to talk about it. If you guys want to do that, you go do you. So what are your thoughts on should churches, well, let's start with what I hope is an easy one. Should churches be celebrating Pride Month?
No. Flat out, no. We should not be ignoring it either, but we should not be celebrating it. Celebrating, when you think of the word celebration, you're thinking of something that you agree with, something that you're enthusiastic about, something that you want to congratulate someone on doing. And as Christians, as a church, we cannot celebrate sin, plain and simple.
Yeah. So on your point, celebrate like, hey, Jim and Jan just got married. Let's celebrate that.
Right.
Bill and Annie just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. Let's celebrate that. It's Father's Day. So this is where it gets a little tricky because Father's Day is coming up. Not a Christian thing. I don't even know that everyone else in the world does it. Some nations have some kind of thing where they honor Father. Most nations, it's more Mother's Day that's the big thing than Father's Day. So Father's Day is coming up. A lot of churches, even though it's not a Christian thing, are going to celebrate honor, commemorate Father's Day, even though, you know, not a Christian thing. So some people would say, well, why wouldn't you celebrate Pride Day? That's not a Christian thing either. And your point explains it perfectly, because the church is not supposed to celebrate sin.
Right. And there's a big difference in celebrating Mother's Day, Father's Day, even Valentine's Day, if you wanted to look at it that way, because Valentine's Day isn't a Christian holiday either.
Yeah.
If you want to look at it in those terms, the reason we celebrate those is because they're celebrated because of God's biblical principles that are behind that day. We celebrate because the Bible says to honor your mother and father. And if you honor your mother and father, you get long life. I'm not saying that's why we should celebrate it, but I'm just saying, you know, that's why we look at it that way. We're not to celebrate manufactured holidays, I don't believe. You know, there are certain days I just don't care whether they're a holiday or not, because I don't, you know, they're just manufactured. And we certainly should not be celebrating a lifestyle that is rooted against the Word of God.
Yeah, and for those who are going to come at us and say, well, homosexuality is not a sin, and I'll get to the post that made me really upset in a minute, that say homosexuality is not a sin. Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, it's an abomination for a man to lay with a man as he does with a woman. And even though people say, well, that's the Old Testament, we're not bound by that, that was fulfilled in Jesus, that doesn't mean we get to do it. That means anything that we're going to do, we need to do in a way that honors Jesus. And that doesn't. And Jude 1:7, Romans 1:27.
That's what I was looking for, Romans.
Yeah, they call it a perversion that is not natural.
Right.
So we don't get to, and, you know, as we're talking about your Bible study through Revelation, you know, when you get to the end of Revelation, multiple times it says people who do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And one of those being sexual immorality, any sexual activity that violates God's line of morality, and he has defined man with a man, woman with a woman. And there are the people that say, oh, well, homosexuality, it wasn't changed to that word until whenever. That's because the word didn't exist when the Bible was written.
And some versions of the Bible have homosexuality in it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that word came into being as this is what it is, then, yeah, they clearly said, man with a man, that's homosexuality.
Any type of sexual immorality, whether it is, I'll probably get hate for this, but I'll go as far as saying, I don't care about if you're discarding God's definition of marriage in any way. If you're just living together and have lived together for 40 years, I'm sorry, you're living in sin for 40 years. There's just no way around that. That's just what the Bible says. So, I mean, either, and I've said this I don't know how many times, either you believe Genesis 1:1 or you don't believe Genesis 1:1. Because if you don't believe Genesis 1:1, you can't believe anything else in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Either the Bible is true or it's not. You don't get to pick pieces to adhere to. So here is this post that kind of, and, you know, it's usually during Pride Month that it ramps up to... Mm-hmm. You know, people coming down on homosexuals and the LGBTQ, whatever the letters are, community. Someone posted this, and I've seen it on multiple platforms, multiple social media platforms, some with a picture of the pastor, some without. hundreds of thousands of people sharing this and celebrating it, says Pastor Christian A. Smith. I don't even know if this is a real pastor, if this is an AI-generated thing that originated. Someone just made it up and put a picture, and everyone just went with it. But it says Pastor Christian A. Smith just reframed the entire, and then in quotes, homosexuality is a sin argument from the inside, and it's resonating. His logic: Jesus said the greatest commandment is love. The first rule of love is do no harm. So if sin is anything that causes harm, and queer and trans people are simply living their lives without harming anyone, then they're not sinning. And there's more to it. It goes on and says more stuff. But my initial thought was, okay, if you are reframing, and they use the word reframing, if you're changing the definitions that Jesus used, that's a sin. If you're taking the word of God and changing it to meet your, that's a sin. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a bishop, a pope, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. And then it says some things that aren't true. Yes, it's true. The greatest commandment Jesus said is, first he said is love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, body, and soul. And he said, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So they got that wrong. But then they say the first rule of love is do no harm. I don't have the Bible memorized, but I don't remember anywhere where it says the first rule of love is do no harm. That is not the first rule of love, because one, the Bible doesn't say that. Two, if I truly love you, I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it harms you.
Right.
And they say the second, so if sin is anything that causes harm, that's how they define sin, which is not true. Sinning thing is anything that transgresses God's morality, his law, his justice, his righteousness. So we don't get to change saying, oh, sin is anything that causes harm. That's not how the Bible defines sin.
No. It's not. Sin is anything that goes against God's word, period.
Yeah.
And sin is something that all of us have, all of us deal with, all of us face on a daily basis. It's not just because we have a C in front of our name, meaning Christian, doesn't mean that we are not capable of still sinning. Because the Bible says that God's mercies are new every day. Why does he have to have his mercy new every morning if we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing? You know, this is a very hard topic. I have several people in my family who are in that community, and I have a couple who are married to the same sex in that community, and I love them just the same as I love anyone else. And that's where I think we have our problem. That's where we have our struggle. Is because we don't know the true definition of love. We struggle because if they're sinning, we don't want anything to do with sin, because the Bible says stay away from sin, run away from sin, don't associate with anyone who's in a sinful manner, stay away from wickedness. And that's all true. But it also says, love your neighbor as yourself. So the next time you tell a lie, are you going to not love yourself because you lied? You know, are you going to stay away from yourself because you looked at someone with lustful eyes? I mean, there's just so many things we do on a daily basis that we sin against God, that before we can point a finger at anyone, we need to reflect, look in a mirror and reflect, see the reflection and see, am I pure? And I'm going to tell you, none of us are.
So let me push back. I agree with everything you said, but I'm going to push back as if I didn't. Again, for those who listen, I agree 150 bazillion percent every single thing Mark said, but I'm going to push back as if I didn't, because I know there are some pastors and other Christians who will push back and say, yes, but okay, I love myself, so I will talk to myself again, and I will tell myself, Floyd, lying is wrong. You don't need to lie anymore. So doesn't that give me the right to turn around and come after and go after all of the people that are celebrating Pride Month this month, whether they be participants in the LGBTQIA community or whether they just be, like you said, I have family members there, so they're celebrating it, so I'm going to go down to the parade. And there are pastors who feel it is their right that the only thing they should preach on this month is why those people are wrong, why those people are going to hell, and encouraging other people to go down and, you know, disrupt their activities.
And I get you. I get that statement. There's only one person that has the right to look at any of us and say, you're sinning. Now, the Bible does say that we are to go to our brothers and sisters and say, hey, if you see somebody that's walking out of line, pull them aside and talk to them and say, hey, this goes against God's word. But only one person can judge us for the way we live, and that's Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I love myself, but I don't have the right to go and tell someone else they're going to hell because of their sin. Am I making sense there?
Well, I don't want people to walk away and say, oh, so no pastor should stand at the pulpit and say, no, that's a sin, and if we do this or live this way, you know, God's
going to I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that at all. We need to talk about sin. Bible tells us we need to talk about sin. We need to call sin out. But we need to do it in a loving way. We can't just go up to someone, a gay couple, and say, you know, God doesn't approve of you, you're going to hell. That's not the way to address it. We need to have dialogue. We need to show them dignity in their life, but not in their lifestyle.
Yeah, so I always tell people, first off, if you don't know the person, right? I don't know this person, I don't know that person. Mind your business.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my business, you know, if some random person is at a pride parade, I don't know why they're there. They may be, you know, in that culture, in that lifestyle, they may be there to support a family member. It's not my business to go down and say, you're going to hell because you're doing this. I don't know their story.
Yeah.
That's a different conversation if Mark suddenly says, hey, I'm leaving my wife for a man. Then I know Mark. I've known Mark for years. We got to ask Don. I don't know how many years we've known each other.
It's been a lot of years.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years.
It's been at least 10.
I think it's been way more than 10, but it's been at least
possibly.
It's been at least 10. Yeah. But then I think, again, because I love Mark, I do have the right to have a conversation with Mark to say, hey, you know what? And how I frame that, I always tell people, needs to be in an Ephesians 4:29 way, which says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for benefiting others and lifting them up. So any correction, any whatever, one, needs to be biblically based. Two, it needs to be a way that's going to lift you up and hopefully point you back towards Jesus if you're going away. Not in a, you know, coming after you, going after you, yelling, screaming, you know, you're going to hell and here's why, there's no hope for you, brother, blah, 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 type thing. But in a, I care about you so much. And again, this is where, because I know you, but yeah, I'm going to come, and I'm not going to do it on a Facebook post. that says, right. Hey, y'all need to pray for Mark because he's leaving his wife for another man. I'm not going to, you know, stand up in the middle of your congregation and say it. I'm either going to say, hey, can we go have coffee and talk? Or am I even, hey, I just heard this. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know what to do with it. I just wanted to bring it up to you because this is what's going around. And I'm going to, you know, like you said, Matthew 18, approach you in private, one-on-one, if there's, I believe there's sin there, and then, you know, we'll take it from there.
We have no right to condemn. That's the problem. Condemnation is up to God, in my mind. And how do you say that, Mark? Well, Jesus is our example of that. Remember in John 8 when they brought Jesus, the woman who was caught in adultery, and they were wanting to stone her, and Jesus doesn't say anything. He just kneels down and starts writing on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. We don't know anything about that as far as what he wrote. I have some ideas, which I'm going to share on Sunday. But he started writing, and one by one, the men, the leaders of the church, dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus looked at the woman at the end of the story and said, who's here to condemn you? The only one there that had the right to condemn, who led a sinless life, the only one there said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's the part we don't think about, is the go and sin no more part. Because he didn't condemn her because she sinned, because he wasn't saying you got away with it this time. He's saying don't do it again. And when we come to people, even like family members, that, like I said, I have several, some very close ones, my love for them hasn't changed at all. I don't agree with their lifestyle. They know I don't agree with their lifestyle. They know I won't celebrate their lifestyle. They know that I will not participate in anything to do with their lifestyle. But I will participate in them when it's not involving the lifestyle.
Yeah, and I like that concept, participating in them, but not celebrating their lifestyle. Yeah. I just wanted to add something because you brought that up and it made me think of something. When Jesus, they brought that woman to Jesus, all of Jesus's conversation had to do with everyone else first, and he didn't address her wrongdoing and call it out as sin until they were one-on-one. He wasn't there to publicly shame her or, like you said, condemn her. That was a private... They made it public.
Right.
To which he brought that to, hey, you know, if you guys are bringing this public, then, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, because you all have issues in your life, but no one's bringing those public. And he didn't turn to address her issue until they were one-on-one, because he realized the severity of what just happened to her. They were trying to shame her for something that, for her, maybe she thought was right. We don't know the story, but she thought, this is natural for me. This is fine. And then he waited till a private moment to say, it's sin. Like you said, he didn't give her a free pass. Don't do it anymore.
And that shows the kindness and the compassion that Christ wants us to have with others that are caught in situations that they shouldn't be caught in. I mean, there's a whole lot of questions I have about that story. One is, how did they catch her in the act?
Yeah.
Did they just storm in and say, uh-huh, got you, come on out? Or, you know, there's a lot of things. And I think that when Christ bent down to write in the dirt, he wasn't, my theory is, because they knew the Old Testament law, they knew what was, they brought her there because the Old Testament says that anyone caught in adultery should be stoned. I wonder if he started writing, because the finger of God only shows up a couple times in the Bible, and his is the finger of God writing in the dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if he was writing every commandment that they broke that they should be stoned for. And that's what he was writing in the ground. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not. Because in that day, it was a common thing for even leaders of the church to have mistresses.
Yeah.
So was he writing the commandments that they could have been stoned for? But, and we do the same thing, though, in today's world with the LGBTQ people. Because we say, we want to stone them, we want to crucify them, we want to run them out of town, instead of saying, you know, God loves you, even though you are in your situation, God's love for you has not changed. And our love for you should not change. We should not celebrate. We should not, you know, put you on a pedestal because you are this. But we should lovingly talk to you about how, what it is, especially if there's people in the church, and there are people in the church who claim to be part of this group.
Yeah, and there are people in the church who say, I'm not a part of it, but I will celebrate it with you and stand by you, and that twists the word of God, like the one passage that says, oh, this is how God supports it and how God encourages it. And
Well, the last year, year before last, the church up in Minnesota that did the whole Apostles' Creed, they changed it to include the gay community.
Yeah. You know. And we can't do that. We don't get to do that.
The Bible is very clear. In Revelation 22, Jesus said, these are my words. No one can change them. No one can add to them, and no one can take away from them. Anyone that does will be cursed, will not be able to enter into heaven. How do you get around that command?
Yeah, and if you ask them, they will try to justify it. I remember there was one pastor who posted a video online in support of, and he says, he started the video with, does God, and he said something about support and love. No, he said, is homosexuality unnatural and is God against it? And then he read from Romans 1, which literally says, it is not natural.
Right.
And then he went on to twist that to say, here's why God accepts it. And so I responded to his video with a video that said, okay, hold up. You asked, is it natural? You read verses that said it's unnatural. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the story. Anything else is not of God. It's of you. It's not God's word. It's your opinion. And he and a bunch of other people just came from my life, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, except you don't get to change the word of God. But people keep trying to do that. But let me ask this. So because this is Pride Month and there are Christians who are, what do I do? You know, like you and I both have family members in that culture and that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they're asking, you know, what should I do? Should I not talk to them this month? How do I respond to them? And especially when there are Christians who are just being mean and nasty about it, instead of like, I have not said anything about Pride Month from the pulpit, because I don't feel like I should stand up at the pulpit and condemn this. Now, when if we go through a passage of scripture and it comes up, we talk about it, but I don't go out of my way to condemn anyone's lifestyle, because that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to equip people to live their life in a God-honoring way. But,
and I'm the same way.
Yeah. So what do we tell, what do we say to the Christians to say, well, what do I do with all the Pride Month stuff this month? How do I react? Do I not react?
Number one, seek dialogue, not division.
Repeat that again, because that's a pretty powerful statement, because right now so many people are focused on division, even the Christians.
Yep, we need to seek dialogue and not division. And what I mean by that is you can talk out the reason you believe what you believe and do it without putting a block up in between you or a wall up in between you saying, and I'm not crossing over to even listen to what you have to say. That's not dialogue. That's division. So talk to people. Show them that you care. Show them that you really are trying to understand why they feel the way they feel and why you feel the way you feel. When we go to it as warriors against one another, there's always going to be that conflict.
Yeah.
You know, secondly, I think we need to focus on holiness in ourselves. That's a word that we don't hear a lot about anymore. What am I doing in my life that is dishonoring to God? Yeah. How can I be more holy?
Yeah, as Jesus said, get the plank out of my own eye before I look at the stick in your eye.
Right. So those are two. And I think the third one is live the counter culture life. Don't find yourself in a sexual, immoral lifestyle that you're condemning them of. In other words, if you're sleeping around on your wife, if you're sleeping around before marriage, if you are living together with someone, if you are looking at porn every day, if you're doing all of this stuff, you have no right. Number one, you have no right anyways, but you have no right to condemn someone else if you are sexually immoral yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a harsh word, but that's...
No, yeah. That's the truth. Yeah, we have focused so much on just that part of the sexual immorality.
Yeah.
We forget there's all these other types of sexual immorality.
Yeah,
like we were just talking about, the woman caught in adultery. But here's something I like to tell people, and I think we need to get this down, is that our faith is not dependent on what someone else believes in or doesn't believe in. In other words, we don't have to condemn them. If I say nothing about Pride Month all month, my faith in Jesus Christ is still strong. I'm still going to heaven. I'm still a child of God. I don't have to condemn other faiths in order to live out my faith. If God provides the opportunity where we can, like you said, have a dialogue and not seek division, we can seek a dialogue, then we need to do that and hopefully use words that are only uplifting and beneficial to clearly communicate God's love for them. I feel like some pastors think anything that comes out, it's their job to condemn it, demean it, and ridicule others from the pulpit, and they go past calling out sin to demeaning and belittling sinners. They do the opposite of what you were saying Jesus did in John 8 with the woman caught in adultery. They don't focus on the other people who are like, hey, you're not living right. They ridicule, demean, belittle. They would have torn that woman to shreds.
Yeah.
They would have you know, did a 1 hour sermon calling out all her other issues and lifestyles instead of handling it the way Jesus did, which is to wait till they were alone to say, hey, this is sin, don't do it anymore.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I don't know how to word this. The Christian response to any kind of sin, we're just happen to be in Pride Month right now, but any kind of sin should be handled with love and compassion, period. There's no way to do anything other than that if we are true Christ followers. There's just no way around that, because when you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, what is the first fruit or the first attribute of that fruit is love. If we don't build the whole thing on love, then we can't even claim that we have any of the fruit.
Yeah, and the definition of love is not to do harm.
Right.
That's not the definition of love.
No.
That's not how God describes it. That's not the definition of sin. That's not the definition of love. Let's do this. Let's pray for not just the pastors, but the people. You know what? Don't even worry about the pastors. Let's pray for, because some of them are a lost cause, man. We can't help them. They're not going to change.
More than we know.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to change. Let God take that one on. But let's pray for the people in situations like you and I, where we have family members, and those people are struggling with what to do, how to show love to them, how to not demean them. Because I found this, and I don't know if you found this, I found this consistently, where there are people who are Christians who will acknowledge homosexuality as a sin. Then they have a family member who gets involved in the homosexual lifestyle. And then that Christian will decide, oh, it's not a sin.
Yeah.
And they think, I have to now accept their sinful way as God's putting his okay on it. And order that to be the only way to still have a relationship with them.
And I see it so much where they will say, well, they were born differently. They just were born out of the gate feeling different than what they are. I'm sorry, that's not an excuse. That's not a reason why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and
that's another topic for another day, but that's...
Yeah, but let's pray for that person. I've seen pastors do it. I've seen Christians do it. Strong Christians, people who've been strong Christians for 30, 40 years, and then they have family members who will acknowledge that they're in that lifestyle, and that those Christians will flip. And my question to them is always, was God wrong before?
Yeah.
Or were you wrong in your understanding of God? Because God doesn't change. And I don't say that to whatever. I'm like, hey, you can still love them.
Yeah.
Without acknowledging and saying that what they're doing is good in God's sight. And that it's no longer sin. Like God suddenly changed his mind the moment that your child or your loved one entered into this sinful lifestyle. So let's pray for it, because a lot of people struggle with, well, the only way I can love them is to just accept it as not sin. And that's not necessarily the case. So let's pray for those family members that are struggling with that, especially during Pride Month.
Okay. Father, we thank you for your word. Even the difficult parts of your word that we struggle with in our own hearts, because we are human. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with everyone in the sound of my voice that is dealing with these hard topics, these hard situations, especially this month during Pride Month. Those who may have loved ones who are involved in this this group, we just ask, Lord, that you would allow them to show the kindness that you have shown to us. That we are not condemning, we are not confronting, we are not overstepping your bounds, but that we are following your word by loving them and embracing them, not their lifestyle. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help us as believers to seek your presence, your Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can be more encouraging, more uplifting to those around us, Lord, that they would be drawn to you because of our actions, not away from you because of our actions. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.